You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet you and welcome you in the love of the Lord. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 o'clock.
Amen.
Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart, Florida that we have for 22 plus years, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. So as we say, we welcome and greet you. And to all of you, wherever you're at, if you're listening on the computer at home or you're listening on the radio, we welcome you to the program. And we're honored to be here with you every
Amen.
Saturday. So Pastor Don has got a couple announcements to make.
We want to say hello to everyone
that's
out there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And hello to Roscoe and Audrey on the island. And we're planning on coming over there very, very soon. Thank you, Lord. But we are on the radio and we're also on the internet. So you can go to WCNO.com and you can listen to us on the radio, on the internet. And you can also listen to other teachings that are on the internet
Amen.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We also have services here in Stuart, Florida. And I'm going to give you the telephone number in just a second so you can get your pen ready if you'd like to write down the phone number. I want to mention also that we are now in the month of Nisan.
That's right.
And that's when we had the solar eclipse, started that. And so we're in this month, and this is the spiritual month for the Hebrew calendar, starting from Nisan 1, where this is, begins the spiritual month. And we're going to be teaching some things about that as well. But I want to let you know that we're having services here in Stuart. We have Sunday morning services, or meetings with God, Pastor Gene likes to say. It's called worship. The name of the ministry is Spirit of Prophecy. And that comes out of Revelation 19:10, where it says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of Prophecy." Amen. And so that's Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And then we also have, we come together again on Friday nights for Shabbat at 7 p.m. And that's a wonderful time where we spend, we pray and we open up the Sabbath and we spend time seeking God's presence with some wonderful prophetic music. And then on Saturday, we have some teachings and some videos, different things we do on Saturday. We also have a worship arts class of those who may be interested in worshiping the Lord in dance or in banners or flags, things like that. Amen. We also for children or adults. So that's a great thing. And what are we going to be showing this afternoon?
Well, I haven't fully decided. It'll be a surprise, but it's going to be a video. So I've been praying about which one. I got two or three.
There's so many.
Yeah, there's so many. So just come and you'll be blessed regardless of what, because they're all very informative and to show us a lot of things about what God wants us to know and understand about His Word, what He's doing in the world. Amen.
That's right. And so that's at 4 p.m., so you mm-hmm. can come and you can enjoy that. And then we close the Sabbath out and we pray for a little bit. So it's just a wonderful time. So I'm going to give you our telephone number, and I want to let you know that coming next week on the 4th of April,
on a Saturday.
On a Saturday mm-hmm. is when Passover begins, actually, on Friday night. It begins on Nisan 14, but we will be having our Passover Seder on Saturday, That would be April the 4th at 5 p.m. in the afternoon. So come, you're going to learn about some things about the Passover and some of the things that we'll talk about today and about the blood moon and all these good things and how, you know, Passover isn't just for one day. It lasts for several days.
That's right. They call it, it's all up together. Unleavened bread is called, you know.
Unleavened
bread. Or it's called the Passover season.
The Passover season. Pesach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a wonderful time. And that's the time that we're going to talk about that Jesus died and then he rose again.
Hallelujah.
All this happened during Passover. So these are very important times and very important dates and even very important dates in history. If you've been following us very long, you know that a lot of things happened on Nisan 17. And that's the day that Yeshua came out of the grave. But I'm not going to, don't want to jump ahead. So you're going to get to hear that. So you just pay attention and you're going to learn something you may not have known before. And because God goes by his prophetic calendar.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Not by Sunday.
That's
you
right.
know, it's his, so, and or, you know, different days.
Or
that
the
we
solar
go by,
calendar. Yeah.
Or the solar calendar, right. He goes, it's a 30-day calendar, 12 months a year. And
it's a lunar calendar.
It's a lunar calendar. So I'm going to give you our telephone number. And if you'd like to come to that Passover Seder, you need to call, I'd say, in the next few days, so we can have you on. We have quite a few people coming now, and so we have a limited amount of seating. So just give us a call and let us know for sure that you're coming and how many people you will be bringing to that Passover Seder. On Saturday the 4th of April. So our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. 7007.
It's a good number, isn't it?
It's a good number.
007, agents for the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about this moon that's coming up again, the lunar eclipse, and then we're going to talk about some things about an introduction to get into a little bit about Passover. But there's some interesting...
It's called the blood moon.
The blood moon, which is interesting things about this
and
one
we'll
this year.
And we'll be able to see it.
Yep.
Here in this area.
You will. In fact, on the evening of Friday, April the 3rd, that I was talking about, which would be the beginning of it, sometime between sundown and complete darkness comes a Pesach for the Lord. This is revealed in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 5 about the Passover. Along with the Passover comes the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We talked about that. This particular feast also has five unique occurrences combined together that make it a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence as well. Incredible. Listen to this.
Once-in-a-lifetime.
In our lifetime.
Because of this moon.
That's right. The Passover comes on a Sabbath this year. Isn't that incredible?
Yes, that okay. is.
Okay. The last Sabbath Passover was 7 years ago, and the next one will not happen again until 2021.
Mm-hmm.
It's during the Shemitah year. This is very key.
So this kind of proves the Shemitah year, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, because if you've read Jonathan Cahn's book about the Shemitah, you'll know more about the Shemitah year.
That's right.
And what happens. Can I just add a little something in here?
Yeah.
That happens because I've planted some flowers and I've planted some things. And it seems like, and we have a fruit tree. Roscoe Nodry, who was on Andros Island, who gave us this tree. And I wish I would have put the date down because I think it's probably been close to seven years.
Yeah, probably around 7 years.
Well, we've
years.
Never had any fruit on this
Not
tree.
Not much. 1 year we had a couple little ones.
But they blew off.
Yeah.
But right now, I've got all kinds of blossoms
all
on this
over,
tree.
Yeah.
And I think about the abundance of the seventh year.
Yeah.
You know, of that seventh year of the harvest of that. And so there's already some little oranges on it. But it's full of blossoms. So
more oranges are going to come.
I'm just praying that, yes, it's going to be the first year of this abundance, you know.
That's right.
Because, you know, there's a lot of times God has certain abundances happen at certain times. And I think the seven is very important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Now, another thing we can think about this year at Passover, it has a lunar eclipse taking place near the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We know that. The next thing, this particular eclipse is called a blood moon. We know that. This particular moon is part of a tetrad of four lunar eclipses over what a period of 18 months we've been talking about, all falling on biblical feast days such as Tabernacles and the Passover. In fact, we know number five, what represents the power and grace of God. But think about this.
And every one of them is on a feast.
On a feast of the Lord. We're going to talk about this here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, We're about to witness, a once-in-a-lifetime happening in our lifetime, the third blood moon of a tetrad that lines up with one of the God's Moedims, or his appointed times, Passover, taking place during a Shemitah year. Now, Just this past weekend or so, we witnessed a complete eclipse that was so unique that it had 8 exceptional features associated with it there. Listen to this. Number one, it happened on the exact day of the spring equinox. What we're talking about the solar eclipse now, when the Earth's axis is perpendicular to the sun's rays. The next thing that happened, it was on the very last day of the biblical year, just hours before the first day of the first month of the year, which is what? Nisan we're in now, which has never happened before in human history. I'm going to read this again. Think about it. It happened on the very last day of the biblical year, just hours before the first day of the first month of the year, as it says in Exodus 12:2. We're going to go there in a little bit, which has never happened before in human history. Next thing, it happened with the moon being a supermoon when it is closest to the earth. The next thing, it happened the day before the anniversary of the erection of the first tabernacle in the wilderness. Exodus 40 verse 2 says it was put up on what? Erected on and completed on Nisan 1, huh? Next thing, it was announced by a spectacular display of the aurora in the skies caused by superstorms on the sun. The next thing, it happened on the exact middle day of the Hebrew Shemitah year, which is believed to be the seventh Shemitah in the Jubilee cycle. Next thing, the full eclipse ended directly over the North Pole. They got to see it. We didn't see it here, but the North Pole.
Right over the North Pole.
The next thing, the only landmass that saw the full eclipse was a group of islands in the northern Atlantic Ocean called Faro. It's pronounced just like the Egyptian Pharaoh, but it's spelled F-A-R-O-E. It's pronounced Pharaoh. And that gives you a thought of what happened in Egypt. Now, the Faroe Islands, like the Pharaoh in Egypt. 8 is a biblical number of what? That represents a new beginning. So we have all these patterns that we're seeing with all this. So it's amazing. All this is coming this year. And so this will be the last lunar eclipse now for a while. We had 2 last year. And we got 1 more, what, this fall on the first day of Feast of Tabernacles. And we won't see them again for quite a while. But it's very interesting. There's some reason that God's showing us all this. We need to look to the heavens because the Bible tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. Before we read this, I'm going to go over to Psalm. If you're at home, open up your Bible to Psalms, and I'm going to go over to, I think it's chapter 19, I believe. Let me just turn over here with you. Yes, it is. Go to Psalm 19. Hallelujah. You know, the Psalms just mean praise, amen. Now, I'm just going to read a few verses here, and this is what we're talking about. And here we are now coming up on next week. We're going to be on at the actual Passover season again. Verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I think about those blood moons. You know, Jesus' blood was shed for all mankind.
And the heavens declare it.
That's right. And verse 2, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. They're declaring things all the time, the heavens. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. A tabernacle for the sun, the S-U-N. I think about a tabernacle up there for or the S-O-N, our Messiah, Yeshua. Verse 5, which is as a bridegroom. So who's the bridegroom? Huh? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Who's the bridegroom?
Thank you, Lord.
So think about that one. Who is the bridegroom?
Thank you, Lord.
Yeshua. And we're the bride of the Christ. Coming out of his chamber, he's going to do that one day,
yes.
And rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from one end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And then next, the last verse I'm going to read, the law of the Lord, the Torah, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Isn't that incredible? So the heavens declare the glory of God. So God's showing us some great things with this. A lunar eclipse. Now the last one we had last year in Tabernacles, we didn't get to see much of it because we had a lot of cloud cover one morning. We just got a glimpse of it. But this year we're going to pray. I'm hoping there'll be no cloud cover and we'll get to see the whole thing. So that's the little things about the moon. You might keep that in mind. There's reasons why God's doing this at this time and season of the year. And so, hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to go with you Exodus chapter 12. Let's talk a little bit about Passover and what it's all about. Now, I need to share this right up front as we talk about this. If you read the Word of God, and a lot of people don't know this, from Genesis 1:1 until we get to Exodus chapter 12, God had Israel on a calendar that ran from the fall, like in the month of Tishri, 12 months around the year, okay? And here in Exodus chapter 12, God now changes the months, okay? Not the years, but he changes the months, okay? The civil calendar is going to change the year, okay? But we're talking about the months. And so God has instituted, he went from a civil calendar, I call it, and a lot of other people understand it that way, to what, a prophetic or a spiritual calendar. I don't like to call it, some people call it a religious calendar. I don't like the word religious, but it's a spiritual calendar. So he did, he changed the calendar. He moved the number on the months by six numbers. And so in other words, what I'm saying is the month of Nisan, when they came out of Egypt, was the seventh month on the civil calendar. But when we got to Exodus chapter 12, we're going to find out it's going to become what? The first month on the spiritual or the prophetic calendar. Isn't that amazing? So God's showing us a thing about new birth here. You know, when you and I come to the Lord, we have a new birth. Our civil calendars, like I'm 75, but on my spiritual calendar, I'm only 33. Isn't that one? Or 32, almost 33. All right, Pastor Donna? So that's interesting when we think about this. So let's go to Exodus 12 and see what God did with this so we might understand the purpose and all of the Passover. And as we read this, keep in mind that Yeshua, our Messiah, our Savior, had to fulfill all of this in his day to be qualified to be the Messiah, because everything was written was about him. Right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
So I'm going to go to chapter 12, okay? Verse 1, this is when they came out of Egypt now. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt," saying, this is when they were getting ready to come out. "This month," and he says, "month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." All right, not years, but months. So, and this month was the seventh month on the civil calendar. Now God's going to change it to the what? The first month on the prophetic calendar. Very important. Now let's go on. He says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month," which would be what? Nisan 17. I'm sorry. Nisan 10. I'll say it in a minute. Okay. In the tenth day of this month of Nisan, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." So they all had to lay up a lamb, didn't they? Well, remember, Passover, when we look at it and study it out, Passover is a pattern completely of individual salvation, because all the families had to sacrifice an animal for their family. If they didn't have enough, if they didn't have at least maybe 10 or so, they could have their neighbors join in with them. But they all had to sacrifice a lamb. And it's a pattern of what? Salvation. The blood was shed, and mm-hmm. they're going to be delivered out of this mess. They're going to come out of Egypt. And so when we have Yeshua come into our life, what happens? The blood's put on our lives, okay? And we've been delivered from the power of sin and death in our lives. So it's an incredible pattern when we look at this. Now, verse 4 says this, "And if the household be too little for the lamb," like I just mentioned, "let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish." Yeshua was without a blemish, wasn't he? "A lamb of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall eat it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." Now the evening here is a key word in the Hebrew. The evening doesn't mean nighttime. It means between the two evenings, which is at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, is when they had to kill that lamb or that goat. And we know that Yeshua, what? The pattern he had to fulfill. When did he die? At 3 p.m. in the afternoon. It's incredible how this had to all be fulfilled by our Savior. All right.
So let me clarify things. Okay. It's in chapter 12. It says God speaks to Moses and Aaron. He tells them that this month, the month that they're in right then, will be the beginning of months, right? So it's the beginning of months, and it's the first month, and you said that's the month of Nisan of the year. So God is showing it that a new thing is happening.
That's right. It's a new right? birth.
A new birth.
New beginning.
So
yeah.
Nisan 1 is the spiritual or prophetic, being a spiritual or prophetic year.
Right.
Right. Okay.
So they had to kill that lamb or goat. It said it could be a goat. What? Mm-hmm. In the evening or between the two evenings at 3 p.m. Now verse 7 says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night," you know, in that evening. What? In the evening it would become what? Nisan 15. "Roasted with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." All these things we're going to have on our Passover table when we have our Seder next week, okay? These are all things we talk about. Verse 9, "Eat not of it raw." Remember, it couldn't be raw, nor could not sodden. It means it couldn't be boiled at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence there. It means the entrails inside. "And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. Now here's an interesting thought about how they burnt that lamb or that goat. And we think about when Jesus was on the cross, you know, he must have really been burning within his body, going all the pain he went through. It must have been a painful burning within him to know that. Well, they took a pomegranate stick, and they killed the animal. They kept it completely. They had to eat the whole thing, the insides, everything. And so they took a pomegranate stick, and they run it right up through the lamb or the goat vertically. And they took another pomegranate stick, and they made a crossbar attached to this vertical one. And so the lamb was... and our goat was hung on this, and they took the insides of the lamb or the goat and they wrapped it around the top of the stake and they stuck it in the ground. It looked like a cross, and that's how it was burned in the ground. Isn't it incredible? Picture of Yeshua, what happened with him. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, verse 11 now. Thus shall you eat of it, all right, with your loins girded, because they're going to get ready to leave, your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. Now, this is a key verse, part of it. It is the Lord's Passover. Hear that? It's the Lord's, it's Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh's Passover. For I will pass, he says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. You won't read one thing here about a death angel going through the camp, okay? We hear that all the time. God himself did this, okay? Now, verse 13, and the blood shall be to you, what? For a token, okay, upon the houses where you are. It's a token, okay? And when I see the blood, God says, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for what? A memorial. When we do this next Saturday, it's going to be a memorial and a remembrance of what our Lord has done for us. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your, listen, throughout your generations. That means forever. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Pretty important, right, Pastor Don? 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, you know, from the time they left Egypt. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. God's got to destroy them. And the first day there shall be a holy convocation. Whew, a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. These are called high Sabbaths, when they were allowed to do no work, as it tells us in Leviticus chapter 23. A holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. So they had it on the first day and on the last day. Same thing with Feast of Tabernacles. On the first day and on the seventh day, the same thing. He says you're to do that. No manner of work shall be done in them. Well, they're high Sabbaths. Save that which every man must eat, that only may be done for you. So we have all the weekly Sabbaths. We know that we also have those seven other high Sabbaths that revolve around God's appointed times every year. Now, verse 17, and you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance. Here we go. An ordinance how long?
Forever.
Forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, this is Nisan 14, at eve, between the two evenings, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 20th day of the month at eve. So they had to eat unleavened bread for those 7 days. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Ooh, pretty strong. Whether it be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons. Listen to this now.
Forever.
And it shall come to pass when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they do. Huh? Incredible, huh? So that's what happened. And so if we look at it, we know that our Messiah, he had to fulfill all of us, didn't he, Pastor Don? That's the key thing about the Passover Seder. All the things we're going to have on the table are going to be about things, how they suffered and all that in Egypt and what they went through. But I think about the blood, you know, they put the blood on the, with the hyssop, on the lintel, over the door and on the side post. Well, you and I that are born again came to Christ. We're covered by the blood, aren't we, Pastor Donna?
The blood protected them their firstborn.
And the blood protects us.
From their firstborn being killed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So everything, all the firstborn, all the cattle, everything was killed.
Because it says, and it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever lived in Egypt that did not apply that blood.
They died.
Over their doorpost. Mm-hmm. And not only apply the blood, but they had to stay inside the door.
Couldn't come out till morning.
Couldn't go out wandering in the streets.
That's
you
right. Know? Or looking to see what's happening, yeah.
No, right. They had to stay inside. And it was a holy thing. This
sure
was a new thing that God was putting in place.
That's right.
The Passover. This is the mm-hmm. beginning of when Passover starts, and they're to remember it down through all their generations. And so we, because we are grafted in, right, and Jesus is our Passover lamb.
That's right.
He is the Passover lamb. Mm-hmm. And so he died at that same that time. See, so God is telling us. He's not just trying to tell us. He's telling us that we need to understand how strong the Passover means. You know, God didn't choose another time for Jesus to go to the cross.
He Passover chose lamb.
The Ooh. Passover time for him mm-hmm. because he's the final lamb. Not all these lambs they had to kill and you know they had to burn it. Even the whole thing that they wanted to eat it or burn it, the whole thing. And none of it should be left, and because you know they were going to be leaving mm-hmm. the old way.
That's right.
Well, what happens? Yeshua, he's our Passover lamb, and we are to leave the old way of our life and come into a new understanding and a spiritual life, because this is the spiritual month. You know,
that's
Nisan
right.
is a spiritual month. It's a born again month.
Picture you already a new birth. Yeah.
A new birth, and it's also on the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full moon, and Yeshua came at the fullness of time to complete the work that God had started way back here in Exodus.
Hallelujah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So as we see this bloodline go right through our whole Bible, mm-hmm. we can see it's the blood. Everything has to do with the blood, and people say, well, why the blood? Well, the blood is life.
Sure.
There's life. The Bible
life
says there's
the
life is in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Without the blood, there's no life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the blood of Yeshua applied to our life. And this happened, on a full moon? He came in the fullness of time.
That's right.
And this year we're going to have a red blood moon.
Red blood moon this year.
Red
That's right.
blood
wow.
moon. So I think it's very important what's happening in these four tetrads, is how you say it?
Yeah.
All these four blood moons that are happening, and every single one of them is happening on a feast day.
That's right.
This one happens to be happening at Passover. Now, the next one will be about 6 months from now.
Yeah.
So it's
After
very important
over,
that
yeah.
we understand that we are in a Shemitah year.
That's
and
right.
that maybe we can
It'll end
teach
just before
on
that
some
last,
of those things
yeah.
maybe another week. But
yeah.
but you need to, I would suggest you get Jonathan Cahn's book about the Shemitah.
And read it.
And read
right.
it.
That's
and
right.
you will understand
mm-hmm.
what happens. You know, so God, there's 7 years.
That's right.
God does everything by seven. 777. So we need to understand that. And so here we have God is showing us this new spiritual life that we're to come into when we receive Yeshua. We have applied the blood of Jesus on our life and in our heart.
That's right.
And he's changed us.
Now,
so we're to walk a new way.
That's right. And the interesting thing too also is we're going to have 6 months from this blood moon. There's going to be another one, and it's going to be after the Shemitah year is over, so we don't know what's going to happen this fall. It'll be very interesting to see what happens, because it ends on what? On Elul 29, before we go into the month of Tishri. Let's read over a little bit further, Pastor Donna, and we're still in Exodus chapter 12. I want to go to verse 40 with you. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwell in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt. This was on Nisan 15 when they actually left, but it was right after the Passover. Now, somebody might question about the 430 years. because they were in Egypt exactly 400 years, the Bible says. But the 430 years alludes to from the promise that was made to Abraham back in Genesis 15. It would be 430 years before they came out of that place, okay? Now, verse 42. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Verse 43. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance, listen to this now, of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. No, in one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad, out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. See, there could be no bones broken. Jesus didn't have any bones broken, did he, honey, on the cross? They came down, the soldiers were told to go down and break all the bones that people are hanging on crosses. There probably were a lot of them. Who knows? We know there were at least three there. Well, when they came to Jesus, he'd already passed away. He gave up the ghost, it says. And what happened? They didn't touch him, so there was no bones broken in him whatsoever. Verse 47, all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day, and this was Nisan 15, that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Now someone might say, well, how do you know that this first month you're talking about is the month of Nisan? Well, if we go into chapter 13 and look at verse 4, it tells you, this day came you out in the month of Abib. The Abib was the month of Nisan. It also was called the month of Aviv. Okay, so the name actually got changed after the Babylonian captivity when they came
up. Some of the months have had other names.
That's right.
In other words, it's the same month, different name.
That's right. Same month as Nisan, okay? Mm-hmm.
It'd be so like your name is John
or
Jonathan.
Right.
Same number, mm-hmm. Same name.
So here we have all this information here and we see how God had to fulfill this through his son. Yeshua had to fulfill every aspect of it or he couldn't have been the Messiah. So no bone was broken on him, you know. And his blood was shed, we know that, and it was shed for you and I.
What so he brought them out, and they had the Passover.
Right.
And he brought them out.
On Nisan 15,
mm-hmm. And they walked, and they finally came, they crossed the Red Sea.
Yep.
On Nisan 17,
mm-hmm.
Which is the same day which is a picture of deliverance. They were delivered from the enemy, from Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a picture of the enemy.
That's right.
Of Satan, actually, you know, mm-hmm. And so we've come across, and we've come out of Egypt. So
hallelujah.
We're supposed to come out of Egypt, you know, out of our sin.
No more bread.
And out of
Pharaoh.
Our bondage, yeah. Right? Out of bondage, because sin just
That's
brings
right.
bondage.
That's right.
And but freedom, they crossed the Red Sea, and you know that was a miracle. And some people even say that didn't happen. Well, you know that was a miracle, and it did happen. And so that happened on Nisan 17, mm-hmm. which is the very same day that Yeshua came out of the grave, which is a picture that he overcame. All the powers of darkness.
That's right.
All the powers.
Set us free.
A lot of things have happened on Nisan 17.
Free. That's right. A lot of things
We've talked
happened.
About it before, other things that have happened, things that have happened
right.
during that time.
That's right.
So, you know, God has these certain days that certain things happen, and so we need to, and they're part of the Feast of the Lord. And you have a commentary, which a lot of people have it, and they've studied it, and it's about the Feast of the Lord. And so all the feasts are in there, and also the calendar, and other things as well. Mm-hmm. It's very informative, and people will learn and understand how God sees things and how he uses these feasts to speak to us, to speak to the world, to speak to the Jewish people, to speak to the mm-hmm. nations. You know, God uses these things to speak to the nations, just like the solar eclipse that we just had. That speaks to the world. But this blood moon that we have coming up this coming week,
yep.
It speaks to the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
So when it has to do with the moon, it's speaking to Israel.
They understand that the Jewish people do, yes.
Right. And so you talked about the four of them. Now the next one is interesting. It's going to be the very first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Very first day.
History 15,
and when we
yeah.
talk about the Feast of Tabernacles, we know that lasts for how many days?
Seven
Eight days.
Plus, well,
and then
yeah. Seven plus one more.
Plus one. And that last day is called rejoicing in the Torah. And who is the Torah? Yeshua.
Yeshua is.
Will we get caught away this year? I don't know. We could and we may not. But still, we're having, there'll be another blood moon, another sign in the heavens. And, you know, the Bible talks about the signs in the heavens over in, Micah? Which one is it? What book is it talks about? Well, there's several places. Talks about the different signs in the heavens, you know, the moon and the stars. And so here we have another blood moon's going to be, which is going to be on another, it's going to be a full moon. It's going to be in Tishri 15. And so that's in the, that'll be what we would call in the fall, in September, in the month of September. And it will be after trumpets, which is Rosh Hashanah. And it will be after also the Day of Atonement.
Right.
And it, because all these feasts all run together within a matter of what, 3 weeks or less, and then it will be on the very first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's the most joyful time of the year,
for
isn't
the Jewish
it?
People, they really celebrate. Mm-hmm. It's a picture of the kingdom of God that's going to come.
Most people might say, well, Passover is a sad time, but if we really look at it, it brought us deliverance. It's a joyful time because, you know, even though Jesus suffered, Yeshua suffered much, he said it was joy. Sure. It was joy for him because he doesn't just look at the now and now. You know, we get kind of stuck in the now and now, what's going on today. But he looks in the future.
Way in the future,
He sees the future. He sees the end from the beginning.
Sure does.
So he knows the answer. He knows all the things that's going to happen down through time. And to him, it's joy because it brought salvation
he
to
said
many
it,
people.
He said it in Hebrews. He said he counted it all joy.
Counted it all
joy.
Because
he knew what was going to happen. But I think about that blood moon at Passover, you know. Think about it. The world needs to know this, especially the Jewish people. That blood is a picture, I think, a pattern of Yeshua's blood. And it came on a full moon, which is the full light that's being shined out into the world. And so it should be a sign to the Jewish people that God's telling them about Jesus the Messiah, that he died at that time, and his blood that was shed was for all mankind. That's why that moon's going to be blood red.
So perhaps even a greater number of Jewish people will come to the Lord this Passover, because as we will be having the Passover. If you'd like to come to our Passover, you need to call and make a reservation. If you didn't hear the beginning of the program, we'll be having a Passover Seder on the 4th of April at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You need to call, and we'll give the number at the end of the program. But, you know, he fulfilled all that.
Sure
he
did.
He fulfilled it. So there's many Jewish people, and we've been told this, that there's many, thousands of Jewish people who have come and believe in Yeshua now. And maybe they're not expressing it, but in their heart,
They know he's the Messiah.
Yeshua is the Messiah, and what does God looks at the heart.
That's right.
But there's going to be a day when they're going to openly declare.
They're going to see him come.
It says they're going to cry out, and they're going to see it.
The ones that are alive.
This year, could it be this blood moon that's coming up, that many of their eyes will be open when they sit down at that Passover table, that Seder table. And they go through the order of all the things that happened during Passover, that God would open their eyes, take the blinders, the shackles off of their eyes,
and
they would see and they would understand. It says over here, we just finished reading the book of Exodus, that even when they built the temple and all. Some people were, that God opens their eyes and he causes them to be wise. And it says that who has a willing heart? I'm not really sure where it's at, but I'd have to go look for it. But, there are people that had a willing heart and people that were willing to give and people who had a wise heart, wise-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
And so, all these things that God can open their eyes and they can see, and they will have a willing heart to come to the Lord, and they will be have a wise heart.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, yes.
It says here, the children of Israel brought a willing offering. They had a willing heart. They wanted to do things. It's over in Exodus 35, and you can read these things about how God stirred their hearts. See, their hearts were stirred. And so we should pray that God will stir their hearts, both men and women, and they'll have willing hearts. And, they will understand, because God will cause them to understand and bring these things to pass, that they will see Yeshua in the Passover.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Wow, all their hearts would be stirred. See, back there in Exodus, after they came through and they were getting ready to build the temple, when actually, you know, even the temple in Moses' day, the one in the wilderness, that was erected the very first time on Nisan
right.
1.
Mm-hmm.
And that started that spiritual year. So
right.
on Nisan 1 is when they put the temple up. And, you know, they stayed in that temple stayed there. It only moved when the cloud moved, and then when it's and they stay there as long as the clouds hovered over that place, and the fire by night and the cloud by day, they stayed there. And Moses went in and out, and so, but they always followed the cloud, didn't they?
That's right.
So, and we need to always stay in the presence, in God's presence. You know, that's a picture of staying in, being in that protected place. You know. That we would have be with the Lord, but all their hearts were stirred, and they had both men and women had willing hearts. And so, you know, when God opens the Jewish people's eyes, because God called them many places, He called them stiff-necked people. Well, when you know when they know Jesus is Yeshua, they won't be stiff-necked, but they won't be swaying, because. Another way I think about somebody who might be stiff-necked, they're going to stick to what they think about, what they know. They're not going to be swayed like some, you know, some people are they don't even know what they believe in anymore.
That's right.
They get swayed to and fro, you know, they don't know. And one minute they're with the Lord, next minute they're out there, they don't believe. So we must believe, but I feel that when they come to that place where they believe, they won't be swayed. They're going
That's
to
right.
be. They're going to be stern, stern-hearted, and strong, and you know, God used them. Maybe part of the reason because they were so stout and so determined,
mm-hmm.
and even you know, you can look at another side of stiff-necked. It could be strong. You know, that God gave them a strong belief. And so they're not going to, but when they get that, when they know Yeshua, then, you know, their heart is also changed. And so then they believe. They
That's
believe.
Right.
There's a new movie we want to see. You need to all go see it. It's called
Do You Believe?
It's the best movie I've seen in a
long,
long time. Do You Believe?
And they talk about Jesus all through it, don't they, Donna?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Father God. So here we have this blood moon's coming up. And, if you'd like to come to the Passover Seder, it's going to be here in Stuart, Florida at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And the phone number, if you'd like to RSVP, you need to do that. It's area code 772-285-7007. And we're going to have an awesome time. It's going to be Saturday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I'd like to read something out of Psalms here, Pastor
okay.
Donna, about the Passover. It's in Psalm 69. And this is some prophetic words here. That the psalm relates to and in the future about our Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. This was a psalm of David. I'm trying to see where I want to start at here. Verse 9 in chapter 69, or Psalm 69 says, "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me." That's a prophetic word. "When I wept and chastened my soul, with fasting, that was to my reproach." So it was talking about the Lord, and David's talking about himself also. I'm going to go over to, where do I want to start at? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's start in verse 12. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. Now, David's talking about himself. We're going to get into some things. You'll see he's going to talk about Yeshua. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Salvation is how we get the word Yeshua. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flow overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. David's praying here. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul, and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame. Jesus had the same thing. And my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforts, but I found none. The only two that were at the cross was who? his Jesus' mother and Apostle John. Now listen to this now. They gave me also gall for my meat. And in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That happened on the cross. Now here we go. Let their table, I'm going to read this again. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. I'm going to read it again. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake, and so on. But this is key, but let their table. I thought about this years ago when I studied this. This table is the Passover Seder they have every year. Let it become a snare before them, because all the things on that table, as we talked about, we're going to have it on the table next Saturday, will be about Yeshua. And so it becomes a snare. They should understand that. And I'm always reminded of the gentleman that Donna and I, an attorney that we had one time years ago to close on a house that we had. And we met him and found out he was a Messianic Jew. And so after we did the business closing the house, I got talking to him because I always like to ask a Jewish person how they came to the Lord. And so he was telling us that he used to listen to the radio coming into his office every day. And it was on a secular channel, not on a Christian channel. And this man would be talking about something in the First Covenant, and he'd take it over and show him the fulfillment of it in the New Covenant. And so as he did that, he decided one day he was going to get a Bible. So he went and bought a whole Bible, not just the Torah and all the prophets. He bought an entire Bible. And he said by the time he got halfway through the book of Matthew, he was on his knees asking Yeshua to come into his life. And then he started talking about this table we just talked about right here. Let their table become a snare. And he got talking about it. He said, all the years that I was involved with a Passover meal and all the things on the table, never gave it any thought. And so he began to talk about each one of the elements that's on the table, that if you come next Saturday, we're going to be doing that with you in the teaching. You'll be able to do that. And as he began to talk about each one of those things on the table, how it represented more of the Messiah, he began to cry. Remember that, Pastor Donna? Tears began to run down his face. He just couldn't comprehend how he went all those years and didn't realize that his Messiah already came one time for him, and now he's getting ready to come back again. So that's our hope for Israel and all the Jewish people all over the world, that they'll realize that their Messiah came one time for them. They missed the visitation, but he's going to come back again. Let them not, Lord, miss his visitation before you come back, that they would come to you before this terrible time that will come upon the earth, and they will escape all this stuff, like the horrors of the Holocaust and all that happened in those days. And they won't have to go through all that in Jacob's trouble. And so this is an incredible word right here in the Word of God. Let their table, this is their Seder table, okay, the Passover, mm-hmm. become a snare. In like that attorney we talked, you know, he didn't realize it, but before he realized about the Messiah, that table was a snare to him because everything on the table was pointing to his Messiah. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare. Yeshua came for their welfare. Let it become a trap because they refused the Messiah. It's incredible when we think about it. Amen? So we have a lot of things about the Passover. And Jesus, you know, that night that he took the Last Supper with his disciples, well, that was his Passover meal with them. And what was said and all that, and they fully didn't comprehend. We know that at that particular time. But 3 days later, when the joy came, when he came out of the tomb, and rose from the grave on Nisan 17, that's when they began to realize everything that Jesus had said about himself and what he was going to do. And he told them he was going to be scourged and he was going to be beaten by their leaders and all that. And then he was going to die and he was going to raise on the third day. He told them that in the Gospels. And so I guess it just didn't click with them. And so anyway, it's an incredible thing. We think about the Passover season. It's important that we remember this. And you know, when we get to heaven, Pastor Don, in the kingdom, think about this. He mentioned, and we just read that over Nexus, it's going to be going on for what? Forever. So when we get in the kingdom, we're going to be doing it what? All through the kingdom. It's going to be a remembrance, a memorial of Jesus Christ. I used to wonder why in Ezekiel it talks about sacrificing animals in the millennial kingdom. Those are going to be there for memorial to remember what our Savior did. And if you look at part of that over there in the book of Ezekiel, it talked about this free will offering. The burnt offering had to be done at 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. If you read over there, in the kingdom, there's only going to be one. It's going to be one in the morning, at 9 in the morning. The one and the 3 in the afternoon will not be there. Why? Because the Messiah only died one time for all mankind. So there's no memorial to that anymore. He did it once. He's not going to have to ever do it again. Isn't that incredible, Pastor God?
Amen.
So we'll be honoring all these appointed times in the kingdom. So wouldn't it be nice to find out about these now, you believers that are listening today, to find out more about your Jewish heritage? Because whether you believe it or not, if you're born again, you glory. You're a spiritual Jew. You've been grafted into them. So wouldn't it be nice to find out about all this before you get to heaven, and you won't be surprised. There's going to be many Christians going to get there. They're going to say, wow, I didn't know all this. Well, we should know this because what? It's in this book I got before me right here, isn't it, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
It's in this book right here. Everything's in this book that we need to know. So, Pastor, I've said this hundreds of times in my walk with the Lord in almost 33 years. This is the most important event that ever happened in Israel, in the world, in fact, was when Yeshua died, shed his blood for all mankind, and then 3 days later rose from the grave. The most important event. There's nothing as important as that. Now, we might get to the end and think about when we're resurrected and we're caught off this earth. That's going to be great. But this, what happened back at that time with Yeshua in 30 AD, is the most important event that ever happened in history. Because
And he rose.
From the dead.
On Nisan 17.
So he's given us all the pictures, the patterns are here to know what God intended with his son. And so he's wanting us to draw closer to him. And the more we find out about these appointed times, they were all put in place to teach us about the Messiah, weren't they, Pastor Don? New things happened, we know, that put them in place and all that. But remember, it was to teach us prophetically about the Messiah. That's why Exodus 12 is so important. God's monthly calendar, it changed at that particular time. He put them on a prophetic calendar. And so it's amazing when we think about what God's timetable is
so important.
Sure is. And I've had people tell me, well, that was in the first covenant. You know, we're not on a lunar calendar anymore. Well, if you go read the book of Revelation, it tells you just the opposite, doesn't it? Because it talks about over there 42 months and 1,260 days.
Do the math.
For 3.5 years in Jacob's trouble. It's all on a lunar calendar.
It works out to 30 days a month.
That's right. 3.5 years of that.
And that's also in your commentary.
That's right.
You cover the book of Revelation and Daniel and all these dates and all these numbers that the Bible has. You know, God just didn't put these numbers in here for us to just read over them and not understand them. He says, you know, he wants us to be just like wise. Just like the people back there when they were making all the things for the tabernacle in the wilderness. That was a lot to do.
Sure was.
You know, and they had to take out, and they took all the things out of Egypt, you know, and things that weren't Egypt's gold. They took that, but God used it. You know, they melted it down and it became holy. And God used it to make all the materials and the curtains and all the rings and all the things they had
to make
and all the labor and all the things they had to make for the tabernacle. You know, God, he caused them to be wise and to have understanding, and he put certain people in that place to do that. Well, it's the same now. God wants us to be wise and to understand what he's saying in the book of Revelation, where people just, they don't understand it. And we don't read it, that people don't read it, don't teach it that often. But these numbers that you said that are way back there are the same thing that God said over here in Exodus chapter 12.
Absolutely.
Where he changed the calendar, and he changed. So now he's always, now from that point on, he's always on a prophetic calendar. This is why we need to have a prophetic mind. And we need to ask the Lord to give us a Jewish mind. And I even said, when you start teaching these things, I said, I don't understand this, you know. But then the Lord said, he says, ask me for a Jewish mind to be able to see, because these things all were for the Jews to start with, but they're for us now. He says, neither Jew nor Gentile. We're one in Yeshua. We're one in the Messiah. So we should understand the things that God spoke to them, and then he's speaking to them and to us in the new covenant. So what's in the book of Revelation, which you have done a complete understand all those numbers, you didn't leave out one number that's in Daniel or that's in the book of Revelation. You sought the Lord, and people need to take that and they need to read it, because it will open up their understanding to know these things. And God wants our understanding opened up. He wants us to be able to understand these truths.
Right.
Truths that are in his word.
Did you ever think about how we got on the solar calendar? It came from a pagan kingdom called Rome. That's how we got on the sun calendar, okay? And so, but if we would just stayed on the lunar calendar, we'd be in a lot better shape than where we're at time-wise and all that. But God has it in place, so we have to honor it, don't we?
Even when people say, well, Jesus died on Easter. Well, he didn't die on Easter. you know, Easter is that's more pagan stuff that's been brought into our Christian life.
That's
you
right.
know, he died at Passover. He died on Passover. And he died at the same time that they killed the Passover lamb. And, you know, even when he was hanging on that cross, he was put on that cross at 9 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, at the very same time, he could look into the temple of God, and they put the lamb, they tied the lamb to the altar. To the altar.
Yeah.
And that was at what time?
Nine in the morning.
Nine in the morning. Yeshua was tied, placed, nailed on that cross at 9 a.m. And of course, we know about the darkness at around noon and all that. But then he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's the same time that the priest in the temple cut the throat of the lamb that was tied.
Yeah.
That was tied on the altar. And the priest said, "It is finished." Jesus gave up the ghost and he said, "It is finished." That means it's finished. No more lambs.
That's right.
And God proved it because God rent the veil in the temple. Imagine Yeshua seeing that. Yeshua saying, "It is finished." And all of a sudden, God's hand, his mighty powerful hand, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, the Yod, because from the top to bottom, I can just see God taking his hand and just slicing that curtain.
From top to bottom.
Open, and it was no more curtain.
No.
You can go in.
Wide open.
You can go in to worship the Lord at any time. You don't have to have a priest to take you in. You are a priest and you are kings. The Bible says that, but why don't we believe it? You know, we believe it because we can go to God anytime on our own. Amen.
And you think that day that he died also in the temple?
Mm-hmm.
The priest sacrificed a lamb at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
But the most important one was the one at 3 p.m. But they both are symbols of Christ because he was put on the cross at 9, okay? And then he died at 3 p.m. between the two.
But when he died at 3 p.m., that's when the priest said, "It
is
finished.
Last sacrifice of the day."
And the high priest, Yeshua, said, It is finished.
No more sacrifices for sin.
Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're running out of time. I just want to invite you to come to our Passover Seder. It's Saturday, it's the April the 4th, and it's at 5 p.m. So give us a call. And we also have services here in Stuart. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And this afternoon we'll have a video at 4. And we also have services on Friday at 7 p.m. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
So come and you'll enjoy it. And I'll tell you one thing, you're gonna bring great honor to the Lord to sit there and listen to what's going to be talked about.
Amen.
About his son that came to the earth for us to be saved. And so you'll learn something, we know you will, but you'll be in a place just to be blessed by God. And so we
Amen.
Want him to touch us and show us these things, and we'll grow in leaps and bounds with him. And so
Amen.
We're on this program every Saturday because we love people. We want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ, as you heard our intro and all that. And so as we close this program every week, we love you, and we hope you can stay tuned in with us next week again. We're on at the same time, from 12 to 1. So we tell you every week to what? To look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.